This is the Holiness and Victory Over Sin broadcast with Carl Kemp. This is broadcast number 9. Holy Father, we humble our hearts before you. We want to understand the gospel, the full gospel. We want to live the gospel for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. We have the great privilege to turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For one thing, there is widespread agreement that these two verses give the theme for the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Romans, which is a very important epistle. Verse 16, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, 1995 edition, which I always read from unless I mention otherwise. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. The Greek word behind the word gospel is euangelion. This Greek word is made up of two Greek words. Eu means good, and angelion means message or news. The gospel is good news indeed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. The Greek preposition translated for here is eis, E-I-S. We will come across this preposition again as we continue. It could be translated for salvation, unto salvation, to salvation, or resulting in salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Salvation from what? Salvation from being in spiritual death and being a slave of sin, and salvation from the wrath of God that will come against those who are committed to sin at the end of this age. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to everyone who believes in God and His Son and His gospel. To believe in God and His Son and His gospel includes a commitment from the heart to live for God and His Son, and to live in line with the gospel by God's enabling grace, which includes His power. In English, we often use the verb believe in a very shallow way, but in the Bible, to believe in God and His Son and His gospel includes living for God and His Son and living in line with His gospel. If we believe God's word, we will live God's word. There is no difference between believing in God and His Son and His gospel and having faith in God and His Son and His gospel. And faith without works is dead. It isn't real faith. It isn't saving faith. We must submit to God and appropriate His saving grace in Christ Jesus by faith on a continuous basis. In the Greek, it is easy to see that the verb translated believe and the noun translated faith are closely related. The Greek verb translated believe is pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, and the Greek noun translated faith is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. The Greek verb pistuo was derived from the noun pistis. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Greek here means Gentile. Let's go on to Romans 1:17. We'll spend a lot of time here. This verse is extremely important, and we need to discuss several important details. I would translate the first words of this verse, for by it, by the gospel, the righteousness of God is manifested. The New American Standard Bible has, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. What does it mean that the righteousness of God is manifested by the gospel? Well, briefly for a start, the primary thing that it means for this age is that the righteousness of God is manifested in the hearts and lives of those who submit to the gospel by faith. God imputes and imparts His righteousness to believers, just like He said He would in many Old Testament prophecies. Every Christian should manifest the righteousness of God in everything they say and do. That is the Christian ideal, and what a privilege, what a blessing. We need to always aim at that target instead of making room for sin. God's righteousness is manifested in our hearts and lives as we walk by faith in accordance with God's Word and walk by the Holy Spirit on a continuous basis, which we are called to do. Remember Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you most certainly will not fulfill the desire, the sinful desire of the flesh, of the old man. For by it, by the gospel, the righteousness of God is manifested." This is so important, I'm going to turn to quite a few passages in the Old Testament where God prophesied that He was going to manifest His righteousness through new covenant salvation and the atoning death of His Son and by His outpoured Spirit who dwells in all true Christians. Let's start with Isaiah 32:15. Until the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is poured out upon us from on high. As we have discussed, God's pouring out His Spirit on believers is a big part of what New Covenant salvation is all about. God pours out His righteous Holy Spirit of life, and we are born again and are enabled to walk in the very righteousness and holiness of God. Until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field is considered as a forest. Verse 16. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will abide in the fertile field. Where God pours out His Spirit, His righteousness is manifested. During this age, God's righteousness is manifested in the hearts and lives of Christians. In His new heaven and new earth, with its new Jerusalem, His righteousness will permeate everything. Verse 17. And the work, or the fruit of righteousness, will be peace. Righteousness yields peace. Hebrew shalom. Peace with God, peace in the heart, peace with one another, etc. And the service of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. Verse 18. Then my people, God says, will live in a peaceful habitation, and in secure dwellings, and in undisturbed resting places. The main point I want to make here is that God pours out His righteous Spirit, and His righteousness is manifested. During this present age, His righteousness is manifested in the hearts and lives of Christians as they walk by the Spirit, by grace, through faith. I'm turning to Isaiah 45:8. Drip down, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds pour down righteousness. God pours down His righteousness through New Covenant salvation. Let the earth open up, and salvation bear fruit, and righteousness spring up with it. I, the Lord, Yahweh, have created it. We are part of God's new creation. Our righteousness is part of His creative work, but we have to appropriate these things by faith. God gets all the glory. His righteousness is imparted to us through the sacrifice of His Son and by the righteous Holy Spirit. Isaiah 46:12-13. God is speaking. Listen to me, you stubborn-minded, who are far from righteousness. Verse 13. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. And I will grant salvation in Zion, and my glory for Israel. God's righteousness and His salvation go together. A big part of what His salvation is all about is His solving the sin problem through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ and making those who submit to His salvation righteous with His imputed and imparted righteousness. Nothing works right until we are made righteous. Sin always destroys divine order, starting with our all-important relationship with God. Isaiah 56:1. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed or manifested. Under the old covenant, God's people were required to do righteousness, but the sin problem had not been solved yet through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the life-giving, sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that comes to believers through His death. The most righteous believers from Old Testament days will all confess that they needed to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. The most righteous sons of Israel submitted to the ministry of John the Baptist and then to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when they called for repentance. Preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed or manifested. Isaiah 60:21. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. We are saved and made righteous by the work of God's hands, and He must receive all the glory. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. But the Bible also makes it clear that we must repent and submit to God and His plan of salvation by faith, and we must walk by His Spirit by faith on a continuous basis, or we will not manifest or fully manifest His righteousness. We must work out our salvation day by day by faith. However, the fact that we must appropriate God's righteousness by faith does not detract from the fact that His righteousness comes 100% by His grace. In Romans 4:16, for example, the Apostle Paul said, "For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace." Faith appropriates what God makes available by grace. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. To the extent we do not appropriate and walk in God's righteousness and every other aspect of our salvation, we rob him of glory. Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. It is significant that Jesus quoted part of the words of Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, and said that this scripture was fulfilled in him. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord Yahweh has anointed me. The word Messiah from the Hebrew means anointed one, and the word Christ from the Greek means anointed one. He, the God-man, was anointed by the Spirit of God like no ordinary man could be. See John 3:34, for example. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord Yahweh has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. The Lord Jesus Christ brought the good news of new covenant salvation. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty or to proclaim release to captives, and freedom to prisoners. All of us were captive to spiritual death and in bondage to sin, but he came to proclaim release to the captives. Verse 2, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, Yahweh, and the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus' words in Luke 4:18 and 19 stopped with the words, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Most of the manifestation of the wrath of God is reserved for the end of this age. Continuing with verse 2, to comfort all who mourn. Mourning over things like the sinful state of God's people and the fact that his name is being blasphemed is a good thing. For one thing, people who are mourning over such things will be ready to submit to the Savior when he comes. Verse 3, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord Yahweh, that he may be glorified. Those who submit to the Lord Jesus Christ become strong trees that are characterized by the righteousness of God. His righteousness is imparted to them through his saving work in Christ, and he is glorified. As I have mentioned, God gets 100% of the glory for our righteousness. Of course we can be righteous. This is the work of God. He makes us righteous through the atoning death of his Son and by his outpoured Spirit who comes to dwell within us. But we must appropriate and cooperate with God's saving grace by faith. Let's go on to Isaiah 61, verses 10 and 11. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord Yahweh. My soul will exult in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as the bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. God imputes and imparts his righteousness to us through new covenant salvation. Verse 11. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. God's righteousness is manifested before the nations in the hearts and lives of those who submit to his new covenant plan of salvation. They can see the robe of righteousness that God gives to those who submit to him with repentance and faith. I won't read any more prophecies that speak of God's manifesting his righteousness in the hearts and lives of those who partake of new covenant salvation, but I'll briefly comment on two other very important such prophecies that we have discussed already, and then briefly discuss Isaiah 53:11. In Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34, which is a prophecy dealing with new covenant salvation, verse 32 even mentions the new covenant, God said that he was going to put his law within his people and write it on their hearts. In other words, he was going to transform their hearts and impart his righteousness to them. The prophecy also mentioned forgiving their sins and remembering them no more. Forgiveness is a very important part of new covenant salvation, but I believe we should put about 90% of the emphasis on our actually becoming righteous with the righteousness of God. We also discussed Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 27. There God prophesied, for one thing, that he would put his Spirit within us and cause us to walk in his statutes, and that we would walk in his ordinances. Isaiah chapter 53 is one of the most important passages in the Bible dealing with the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the glorious salvation that results from that sacrifice. Isaiah 53:11 is a key verse in that chapter. It speaks of the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ, making us righteous through his atoning death. Isaiah 53:11 is discussed in some detail on pages 26 to 28 of my book, Holiness and Victory Over Sin, Full Salvation Through the Atoning Death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that we have considered quite a few passages in the Old Testament that prophesy of God's manifesting his righteousness in the hearts and lives of his people, believers, let's turn back to Romans 1:17. As I mentioned, I would translate the first part of the verse, "For by it, by the gospel, the righteousness of God is manifested." The primary thing that the apostle meant was that God manifest his righteousness in the hearts and lives of Christians. He has dethroned spiritual death and sin and manifested his righteousness through new covenant salvation. Paul elaborates on that all-important theme throughout much of the rest of the book of Romans, but Romans chapters 5 to 8 are of key importance. We have discussed, or will discuss, most of the verses of Romans chapters 5 to 8 in these broadcasts. Romans 3:21 and 22 is an important cross-reference that speaks of God's righteousness being manifested in the lives of Christians. We'll study those verses later, but for now I'll quote the first part of verse 21. "But now, apart from the law," the Mosaic law, which was a foundation for the Old Covenant, "but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God is manifested." Also note Romans 1:18. It speaks of the wrath of God being manifested from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's why all people need to be saved from bondage to sin and made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to avoid the wrath of God that is manifested now to some extent against all ungodliness and unrighteousness and will be manifested in full measure at the end of this age is to be transformed and become righteous through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The wrath of God is manifested now. See Romans 1 verses 18 to 32. "Even as the righteousness of God is manifested now." The righteousness of God is actually manifested in the hearts and lives of those who submit to God's new covenant plan of salvation with repentance and faith. We don't just read about God's righteousness being revealed. It is actually manifested in the hearts and lives of Christians. Back to Romans 1:17. "For by it," by the gospel, "the righteousness of God is manifested." Then this translation continues with the words, "from faith." I would translate "by faith." Normally, the two Greek words used here, the Greek preposition ek and the noun for faith, are translated "by faith." I could give many examples, but I'll just give three. At the end of verse 17, the New American Standard Bible translates these same two Greek words, "by faith," and so do the NIV, King James Version, and the New King James Version. Romans 5:1 is another example, and so is Romans 9:30. I'll read Romans 9:30. "What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith." The only way we can receive God's imputed and imparted righteousness is by faith, or we could say through faith, or the equivalent. We appropriate God's saving grace by faith. The NIV, King James Version, and the New King James Version also translate "by faith" at Romans 5:1, and the NIV also translates "by faith" at Romans 9:30. Back to Romans 1:17. "For by it," by the gospel, "the righteousness of God is manifested by faith." And the verse continues with the words "to faith," using the Greek preposition eis, E-I-S, with the word for faith. The translation "to faith" is quite acceptable here, but we could also translate "unto faith." The righteousness of God comes by faith, and it comes to or unto faith. That is, it comes to or unto those who have faith, faith in God and His Son and His gospel. The apostle emphasized the word faith here by using it twice. He strongly emphasized faith in his proclamation of the gospel. He received his gospel from the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught that we are saved by faith, a faith that appropriates God's grace. We are not saved by works. If we could earn salvation by our works, we would not be saved by grace, and we could boast in ourselves instead of giving all the glory to God. Romans 3:22 is an important cross-reference. We'll discuss this verse later in its context, but I'll read part of the verse here because it has so much in common with 1:17. "Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe." The Greek preposition that is translated for here is eis. This is the same preposition that was used with the word faith in Romans 1:17, where it was translated to faith. And as I mentioned, it could also have been translated unto faith. Here in Romans 3:22, I would translate to all those who believe, or unto all those who believe, instead of for all those who believe. In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God comes by faith, and it comes to or unto the one who has faith. In Romans 3:22, the righteousness of God comes through faith, using a different Greek preposition, and it comes to or unto all those who believe. There is no substantial difference between the righteousness of God coming by faith or coming through faith, and there is no substantial difference between the righteousness of God coming to or unto those who have faith and its coming to or unto those who believe. Having faith in God and His Son and His Gospel is the same thing as believing in God and His Son and His Gospel. Now back to Romans 1:17. For by it the righteousness of God is manifested by faith to faith or unto faith, as it is written. Then the apostle quotes from Habakkuk 2:4 to back up what he has been saying in verse 17. I believe the alternative translation that the New American Standard Bible gives in the margin is the correct translation, the one intended by Paul and the one who sent him. I'll give that translation. As it is written, but he who is righteous by faith shall live. In the first part of Romans 1:17, Paul says that the righteousness of God is manifested by faith. Here at the end of the verse, he quotes from Habakkuk 2:4, which says essentially the same thing with different words. It speaks of the one who is righteous by faith. This quotation confirms that the way we become righteous with the very righteousness of God is by faith. He imputes and imparts His righteousness to those who submit to the gospel by faith, and His righteousness is manifested in our hearts and lives. We cannot become righteous with the righteousness of God by trying harder to keep the law or any other way. The only way we can become righteous is by faith in God and His Son and His gospel. He who is righteous by faith shall live. We live in the sense that we are enabled to partake of the life of God now as born-again Christians, and we will inherit the fullness of eternal life at the end of this age. I'm going to read 1 John 3:7. This verse strongly confirms that our being made righteous by faith includes a lot more than our being forgiven and declared righteous. Many Christians have a hard time seeing beyond forgiveness and a declaration of righteousness in verses like Romans 1:17. Our being made righteous very much includes our living in the righteousness of God by His grace. In other words, God actually imparts His righteousness to us, and we walk in His righteousness. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. There were deceivers in John's day, and we have many deceivers in our day. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness, or the one who is doing righteousness, is righteous, just as he, God, is righteous. If we are righteous as God is righteous, we will certainly be living with the victory over all sin, won't we? This is good news. What God calls us to do, He enables us to do. Verses like this were written to transform us, not to condemn us. We are able to be righteous as God is righteous because He imparts His righteousness to us, as He often prophesied He would do in the Old Testament. The first epistle of John also makes it clear that Christians who have sinned can be restored through the Lord Jesus Christ and His atoning death. But it is totally unacceptable for Christians to just go ahead and sin with the understanding that they can be forgiven. That viewpoint seriously abuses God's grace. I trust you can see how important Romans 1 verses 16 and 17 are. I'm going to read part of what I said in my book under these verses. The gospel has the power to save everyone who believes. It has the power through the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection, and by the Holy Spirit, to dethrone sin, Satan, and spiritual death, and to make believers righteous. Having been saved from sin, believers will be saved from the wrath of God that will come against those living in sin. And I listed some verses here. When the gospel is received in faith, the righteousness of God is manifested in the sense that believers are transformed by the saving power of God and made righteous. The righteousness of God is dynamic. It overpowers sin and makes believers righteous. God puts His righteous Holy Spirit within believers. The righteousness of God can come to a person only one way, by faith. Faith in God the Father, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in the gospel. it does not come by works of the law, and I listed several verses from Paul's epistles where he says that our righteousness comes by faith, not by works of the law. By faith, yes. By works of the law, no. Righteousness must come from God. It cannot come from man in the flesh, man in spiritual death, man in bondage to sin. Man in the flesh cannot fully keep God's law, so man in the flesh cannot be saved by the law. That's all the time we have for this broadcast. God bless you. His name be glorified. His will be done. His will be done in us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I would like to ask a favor of you. If you're blessed by the broadcast, I would very much appreciate hearing from you. Thanks in advance. I'll make a few announcements. Everything I'll say here and a whole lot more is on my internet site at carlkempteachingministries.com. That's Carl with a K, Kemp, K-E-M-P, and ministries, plural. carlkempteachingministries.com. Individual CDs of the broadcast are available for $3 plus $2 shipping and handling for each order. The first CD has broadcast numbers 1 and 2, and so on. Today's broadcast is number 9. My book, Holiness and Victory Over Sin, can be purchased for $18 plus $2 shipping and handling for each order. You can read extensive excerpts from the book on my internet site before purchasing the book. For the purchase of CDs and or the book, make the checkout to CFC, Christian Fellowship Church, and send the order to Carl Kemp, Post Office Box 1816, St. Charles, Missouri, 63302. The purchase of CDs or books is not tax deductible, but if you would like to help pay for radio time, which would be greatly appreciated, you can send a tax deductible offering made out to CFC to the address mentioned above. My book, Holiness and Victory Over Sin, can also be purchased from Amazon.com. May God's good and righteous and holy will be accomplished in our lives. In Jesus' name.